I thought to respond to some questions this afternoon. Several questions related to awareness, awareness practice. And a couple of things that came up in the group this morning related to awareness, I thought I'd share them more generally. The first question is asking about what the difference is between open awareness practice and this practice. And I think this depends on how you define open awareness. We could call this an open awareness practice. And so this may need a little more unpacking, you know, and if what I say here doesn't speak to you, you can check in with me in the group when we see each other next. Sometimes open awareness practice is described I think in general, open awareness practice and this practice have, I mean, whatever you define, however anyone defines open awareness practice, the one of the commonalities there is that we are not choosing to direct the attention to a particular object. So we're essentially settling back and seeing where does the attention go. So in all the definitions I'm familiar with open awareness, sometimes called choiceless awareness or something like that, that is a feature that seems common. Sometimes open awareness practice is described more with connection with the objects, and this practice, there is both connection with objects and with awareness. So it's perhaps the way in to the practice might be depending on how you've learned it. The first place I learned open awareness practice was out of the Mahasi practice. And I was told at some point after the mindfulness became stable enough that I should simply note what arises. Didn't matter what sense door, just note what arises. But that open awareness practice, it was an open awareness practice, it wasn't my choosing what to note, it wasn't directing the attention at the breath, but it was very object-based. The attention was on objects because that is what had been being practiced, attention to objects. And I'd say in this practice, we don't really start with focusing on objects. They may be what the attention lands on, but we're not trying to, you know, in the Mahasi practice, we begin with a strong cultivation of knowing the objects. And so when we let go into open awareness, the mind is conditioned to really know the objects. And so this, there may not be any difference at all in, sometimes I call this practice open awareness practice. Usually I prefer the term receptive awareness, but it could be called open awareness. So this may be a non-question in a way, but I did want to speak to that, kind of sometimes in open awareness practice, when I was first given the instructions, it's like note, you know, so I was using the noting. I was using the noting practice. And so whatever arose, there was the noting with it. And so there was a real landing with that object and including the note with it. And in this practice, we don't use the noting so much. It can happen sometimes, but we're not consciously using noting. And I would say that the open awareness practice that I've done that starts with objects does ultimately open so that the mind is also aware of awareness. So there may not be much difference except perhaps in how it's taught or the way in. But the emphasis is in the instructions. So that's those are some thoughts there. And then a question about aware of awareness, being aware of awareness. So I'll read the question. I'm not sure I fully understand the entire question, but perhaps as I read it, it'll resonate. Could you say more about being aware of awareness? It seems that when I'm aware, I know that I'm aware in all the flavors that awareness comes in. Could it be otherwise? On Tuesday's instructions, you used the phrase, I think, awareness and the awareness of objects. Why the distinction? So what this is pointing to, the distinction between awareness of objects and awareness of awareness, is there's different ways to come into this, but the object of experience, when there is awareness, of course, you know, the awareness is there, but so if you're aware of a sound, for instance, the awareness is there, but the attention or the kind of what the awareness is really kind of meeting is more the quality of the object, the sound in this case. That would be awareness of object, where the interest of awareness is in really tasting the quality of the object, the sound, maybe the impermanent nature of the sound or the conditioned nature of the sound, but something about the object is more of interest. There's also the possibility when there is awareness of sound or any experience, that the interest is more in that the mind knows, that the mind is aware. Essentially here, this is looking at awareness itself is looking at awareness as mindfulness. Mindfulness is a mental formation. And so familiarity with the mental formation of mindfulness, familiarity with that. What is this experience? What is this experience of the awareness arising with objects? This is not pointing to some sense of awareness without objects. Awareness, we know awareness because it's meeting objects, but sometimes the awareness is more with the object and sometimes it's more interested in the awareness, what it's like to be aware. And so that's just something the mind can do. It can know the different qualities of the experience as a whole. The experience as a whole is the awareness and the object together. And sometimes that can be the experience. Not so much that it's that the interest is in the object or the awareness, but kind of interested in the entire thing. Seeing, knowing clearly the awareness and knowing the objects too. That's also possible. So there's several directions my mind is going right now. I'm trying to sort out which direction to go. So this kind of the curiosity about awareness itself, or being aware, recognizing this is awareness is here, awareness is happening. This is a support, because what we're doing there in that recognition is getting familiar with what it's like to be aware. And that is a support for mindfulness itself. We get familiar with the experience of aware, being aware, and that supports that quality, supports the cultivation of awareness. It's one way that we can cultivate mindfulness, by recognizing mindfulness. And often at the beginning, it's, you know, the experience of awareness, of being aware, you know, it's something that is just so natural. It is part of our human experience. It happens to us a lot. But before it's pointed out to us as being valuable, we often do not know that it's happening, not consciously. We're not consciously aware that it's happening. It happens. We know that we're doing something. We see a stain on the floor. There's the kind of the knowing, wow, that stain wasn't there before, and we go and do something with it. You know, this ability to know what's happening in the present moment is just a natural function of our minds. And I really think it was kind of the brilliance of the Buddha to recognize this really ordinary, simple capacity of our minds is a powerful tool to freedom, and recognizing it and cultivating it. So there are different ways to cultivate it. We can cultivate it by knowing that we're aware of objects, breathing in, one knows one's breathing in, breathing out, one knows one's breathing out. So we can cultivate it that way. We can also cultivate it through recognizing, oh, this is awareness. Awareness is here. And sometimes in that recognition of, oh, this is awareness, the interest is so much in the awareness that there's a little bit of a feeling of separation from the experience, kind of a little distance. It might feel like, you know, there's awareness and there's something that's being seen with awareness. A little space or something, or maybe a sense of awareness is something bigger, and then things arising in that. That's a way that it can be experienced. And often I'd say that maybe in my talking with many students, that kind of way of experiencing, oh, there's awareness and there's something that awareness knows. That's one of the early ways that we recognize awareness, the sense of separation. And that separation can feel very delightful in a way. It's like, yeah, that aversion's over there and the mind is knowing it. You know, it can feel, you know, like, yeah, I'm happy there's a separation there. So we stumble into recognizing awareness often through this experience. It seems to be one of the early ways that we might recognize being aware of awareness, when we sense that separation. We know there's an object there, but it's like, yeah, you know, it's almost like we've identified with the awareness. And so there's not the, you know, we're not in the aversion. The mind is more in the awareness. And so we're experiencing more perhaps the neutrality or even a sense of pleasantness with the awareness, and not experiencing so much the unpleasantness of the aversion. So that can be very lovely. So the first ways that we might stumble into recognizing what it's, what it means to be aware, what the experience of awareness is, when we first start to recognize that, the first way that we recognize that may be, we think something like, oh, that's it. That's what they've been talking about. That's what it means to be aware of awareness. And then we kind of then start to measure, you know, we've identified an idea. We've experienced something, and there's been something profound about it. But then we kind of create the idea of, oh, that's what it is, and begin to measure other experience against that. And we may go looking for that experience. It can be quite delightful. We can have some attachment to that experience too, you know, that recognition of being aware with whatever is happening. And so we can go looking for it, and we can suffer. We can definitely suffer over that. But there are also, you know, I think one of the cautions that I want to bring in here, one of the just expanding the sense of this recognition of being aware of awareness, is that there are different ways that it can happen, different ways that it can feel in a way. I'm not sure what the words to use there are, but one point Sayadaw asked me, he said, what is it like for you when there's no reactivity? What's happening when there's no reactivity in the mind? What's the experience? And I went off to explore that question and discovered that there were different experiences or different kind of feeling, felt sense that happened when the mind was at ease. And I described two ways to him. I said, sometimes when the mind is balanced and non-reactive, it feels like there's this separation between the experience, the object, and the awareness. It feels like there's that distance or that gap between them. And I said, and sometimes when there's no reactivity, when the mind is balanced, it feels like there's no separation. It feels like the mindfulness is coming up right inside the experience. So not a sense of separation at all. And he explained, and this was very useful for me to hear this explanation. He said, it's just two different perspectives on the experience. He said, in one case, the mind is more interested in the truth or the mind is more interested that there is a difference between the awareness and the object, that they're not the same thing. And so it knows there's a difference. It knows. And so it experiences that difference as separation. It's kind of like that's the perception of that experience. Because the mind knows they're not the same thing, it perceives a space. It perceives a distance. And that is all that it is perception, that sense of a distance between awareness and object. It's all is just a perception. And so, but Sayadaw pointed that because the mind was recognizing that the awareness and the object are not the same thing, it was interested in the fact that they were different, that sense of separation was there. He said, in the other experience, the mind, awareness and was more interested in, awareness and wisdom were more interested in that the awareness and the object are happening simultaneously. And that is experienced without a separation. They happen together. They happen at the same time. And so just two different perspectives on the experience. I've also experienced another flavor that felt different from both of those. One that happened one day in the meditation hall at Shui Yu Min. I was observing an unpleasant physical sensation. And at some point, the mind oriented to very clearly knowing both the unpleasantness of the sensation and also the clarity of the awareness. It didn't quite feel, it was closer, I think, to the they're happening at the same time. But there was clearly understanding the difference between them, even as they were happening together. It understood the nature of the awareness and what the awareness was, how the awareness was supporting the mind to be with that unpleasant sensation without reactivity. And so it was kind of more of a in between, it felt like. In between being aware of awareness and aware of the object. It was more aware of both. Very balanced, very integrated. It felt very natural. It was probably one of the most natural experiences of awareness. And the mind got really excited about that. It's like, oh, this is what he's talking about. So I did that. I did that kind of thing. And then I started looking for it. I tried to create it. I gave myself a huge headache and it, you know, a lot of aversion. You know, after that, there was this huge aversion attack for a couple of hours, just watching, you know, what happened after the excitement came up, the trying to do it again. So, you know, we can cling to these things. And I learned, you know, I learned that was not helpful. But I say all of these different differences to point out, you know, sometimes when we have our first experience, we stumble into some kind of, you know, recognition of what it means to be aware of awareness. And we may kind of reify that or think that's what I'm looking for. And then we might miss, given that orientation or that looking, we might miss that the mind is actually stumbling into a completely new way, a completely different way of meeting experience, of how awareness and objects play together. So another piece that I touched on a moment ago, but kind of came up in the group, and so I'll bring this piece in too. You know, the sense and the descriptions came up earlier in the group around different ways it felt with awareness. Sometimes it feeling like awareness is kind of over us, or sometimes coming down from a particular space, or in my experience, sometimes feeling like it's in the head, or sometimes feeling like it's located or has the shape of whatever it is experiencing. So just a lot of different kind of senses of location, form, shape of awareness. And this is all perception. This is the mind kind of trying to make sense of the experience. So you can just notice if it feels like there's a separation. You know, it's like, well, that's what it feels like with awareness right now. It feels like there's a separation. It feels like awareness is back here and objects are in front. Or maybe it feels like there's a big field of awareness and objects are arising in the middle of it. It's all just the mind trying to make sense of the experience. Maybe it feels, as I described like awareness is right in the middle of experience. It's perception that's creating that sense of location. It's just the, you know, the mind trying to, the mind is having an experience, perhaps that feels a little unfamiliar or not experienced before, and the mind kind of overlays or goes into its memory banks and says, well, this is kind of like that. Kind of like when I was at a movie looking at something from a distance, not really involved. I don't know, just something like that, you know, creating a perception to help the mind to hold the experience or to be with the experience. Sometimes knowing that the sense of a location for awareness is a perception, we can play with it. I found this useful at times. Especially if something feels a little bit challenging. You know, sometimes it can feel like everything's up in the head, you know, and it's like we have this idea of the mind and what we're doing in the mind, that it's all up here. And sometimes that can create pressure and headaches and tension. And sometimes we can just kind of envision or imagine, create a new perception as if the awareness were coming from here, for instance. And this is actually what Saito Upandita said to me at one point. You know, he said, well, you know, watch your mind. Your mind is in your chest, just to the left of center. Watch your mind. So kind of taking the idea of the mind being up here and, you know, seeing what it might feel like for it being, this is the seat of awareness. This is the seat of awareness. Or maybe the belly is the seat of awareness. We can also play with a sense of expanding awareness, of not like keeping it contained to the body, but allowing awareness to be as vast as the room, that sense of a field or a space. It's all just kind of playing with perception, but these play, it can sometimes be supportive if there's the mind that's stuck with something to play with. The ideas, essentially we're playing with the ideas we have about awareness. Sometimes when there's a lot of strong energy in the body, a lot of restless energy in the body, the idea or the, you know, the concept of it's in the body creates the sense of this, all this awareness in the body. And it just kind of feels like the attention is all, the awareness and the attention are all in here. And if the mind can, and that's all perception too. That's all perception, this idea that it's all inside, located in here somehow. Location is perception. And so given that, maybe we can have the sense of what if the energy can be as big as the room, and let the awareness be as big as the room. Sometimes these things can support working with some challenges. There was a question about right awareness and not right awareness, or right and wrong mindfulness. This came up in one of the groups too. And someone said, I have the feeling sometimes that I'm not aware correctly, but I judge that to be, there's a judgment about that, that no, I'm just aware. And that a sense that I'm not aware correctly is just a judgment. So this is this kind of goes back to that, what I said earlier, you know, awareness is just a very natural function of the mind. It's actually a neutral quality. Awareness is a neutral quality. This is what it says in the suttas in any case, because the suttas refer to right mindfulness and wrong mindfulness. The commentaries say that mindfulness is strictly a wholesome quality. And I would say that in the suttas, whenever the word mindfulness is used without a prefix word, it is used as a wholesome quality. But it is used in about at least 10 locations. There's a series of suttas that describe the wrong eightfold path. Wrong view leads to wrong intention, which encourages wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood. Wrong effort comes out of that, wrong mindfulness and wrong concentration. And so the, what wrong mindfulness, it's not defined in particular, but it is defined in the context of wrong view. And so to me, this speaks to, you know, the quality of mindfulness being that simple reflective capacity of the mind. It can know that it knows. And it can know that it knows with a wholesome perspective of curiosity, what is this human experience? I often use the example around wrong mindfulness to illustrate wrong mindfulness of a thief who's in a house, you know, maybe a house he's broken into, and he knows there's people either in the next house or people in this house. And so moving very carefully, very aware of the movements, aware of what they're doing. But the motivation for that awareness is not, what is it like to be stepping? It is, how can I be quiet so that I get the things that I want and don't get caught? How can I be quiet so that I can steal these things and not be caught? So that's the motivation. That's the view, that the greed and aversion are the views that are motivating that mind to be in the present moment and aware. Not the curiosity of, what is the experience of wanting? What is the experience of touching or hearing or smelling? So that's really the perspective. In a nutshell, I've said, you know, just that curiosity about this experience as human experience arising as an arising. That's kind of the perspective that brings in wise mindfulness. And so it is possible to be aware and not be aware with that wholesome quality in the mind. And we can become aware of that. The piece that is we have to be careful in a way to not judge our minds. And this is where I think the questioner was kind of coming in. It's like when we are generally kind of orienting with this perspective of curiosity, then we can begin to see when something is going on behind the scenes. So this is why Sayadaw encourages us to check our attitude. know, we can be aware with an attitude that is inclining us to observe that unpleasant experience so it will go away. And then we can recognize, oh, that's the whole way I've been observing this. As soon as we notice that quality of aversion in the back of the mind that has been motivating, you know, looking at that in order that it will go away, you know, the very movement of mindfulness being, you know, the motivation behind how we're paying attention being to make something unpleasant disappear, that very, when we see that that's what's going on, and there is a curiosity about, wow, what's that? Wow, see, that's happening. Then there's the possibility of that mind state no longer being the motivator for the mindfulness. And so in a moment, it can flip from being awareness that is not motivated by right attitude to awareness that is curious about, oh, that wanting it to go away, that's what's happening. So it's almost like as soon as we become aware that we are not rightly aware, we're in the terrain of being rightly aware again. We're aware of that quality that has been shaping the mindfulness with those intentions to get something or get rid of something. And those motivations are very deep. So we may not see some of those operating. I spent a lot of time wanting my self-hatred to go away and observing it from that perspective, clinging to the mindfulness, clinging to wanting it to go away. Sometimes I saw, especially with painful experience, like when I was trying to pay attention in order that it would go away. Sometimes it would, you know, actually sometimes it would go away. But then paradoxically, it's like, then the mind then creates something to look at in order that it gets that release again. I might've mentioned that in the hall. I don't remember if I mentioned that in a group or in the hall. Kind of like, you know, the seeing something, like I saw this around wanting at one point, that the seeing the wanting and then watching the wanting, hanging out with the wanting, I felt the release from that wanting. And that feeling of that release from that wanting was so delightful that for a little while, what I saw the mind doing is holding on to the wanting in order to see that release from wanting. And in seeing that, at some point, the mind saw, wow, I'm holding on into the wanting in order to get that moment of release. Why am I holding on to this wanting now? And then it fell apart in a different way. It didn't quite have the same kind of like poof quality of release that I'd experienced before. But there was a kind of a softer kind of just letting go of that holding on. So, you know, we can't judge ourselves for having the attitudes. You know, it's like that we do judge ourselves for having these attitudes, but the practice unfolds by seeing where there is suffering associated with that holding on, and curiosity about that suffering, curiosity about the human experience of that suffering. And if that is how we're curious about paying attention, as Gil sometimes says, the practice is self-correcting. We may be holding on to look at something in order that it will go away. But at some point, we will feel the suffering of that holding on to look at it in order that it will go away. And that will be what the interest becomes. The mind will become interested in that suffering. Not the suffering of the thing we thought we wanted to get rid of, but the suffering of the holding on and looking at it so that it will go away. So we just practice, we notice what's here, check in from time to time. Is there something behind the scenes, something that's kind of motivating awareness from a perspective of greed or aversion or delusion? Maybe that can be seen so that it's not kind of driving the show, driving the bus. So why don't we break the recording and see if there's any questions in the room.